Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
And good morning. It's always good to be back with you guys and to share the word and to go through this soap with you. I'm Jeff Behrens. My main location's over at the Newfield location. And that's where my wife and I go and lead. And so I know a lot of you go to EHT. Some of you I know, some of you I don't. But if you ever see me around, say hi. Love to get to know you more. And also, too, I always try to remember to tell people, especially people that don't know me and they meet me, if you ever walk by, say hi, and I ignore you, I have bad hearing. So it's possible I just didn't hear you. So seek me down, be loud, and I'll be happy to meet you when I see you at church. And, of course, a lot of you keep your screens blank, so you may know me and I don't know you as far as face goes. So please say hi from time to time. With that said, it looks like our list kind of stopped populating here. I'm sure some people will sign up or sign in as we go. Again, Ruth chapter 2. We're going to read New King James Version, and let's dive in. Excuse me. All right. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I might find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was in the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people who you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed a parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let the grain from the bundles fall prosperously for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name who I worked today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in another field." So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz and gleaned until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Whew, all right. Quite the story there, or chapter of the story here, Ruth. Let us pray before we dive in. Ask God to come and meet with us and to speak to us as we get dive in. Father God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for another day, another life. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Ruth and the life of Boaz. And I mean, especially they're relatives of Jesus, right? They're in the line of, they gave birth to their kids, all the way down to Mary. So, you know, they're in the lineage there, and they are, without them, right, where would Jesus be? Where would that line be? So we get to see a little piece of their story of our family, and we get to learn who you are, get to learn, you know, some characteristics of how we should be. So open our eyes, open our mind, allow your spirit to speak to us and to receive what you would have for us today, Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen. All right. I think there's a cool couple things in this chapter that I want to cover, right? Nothing too long on any point, but there's a point of, right, thinking Bible study and studying. We always have to be careful when we read, especially the first time. We got to remember original language, Hebrew, and translating that, not even just Hebrew of like, say, it's hard enough to translate a modern day language into another modern day language. You know, the longer the gap, the longer the age, the harder it becomes. So just like English, reading something written in English 100 years ago can be tough for someone to read in today's language, right? As different words are used in different areas and how we articulate things, it could be even confusing just from time for the same language. So at first glance, right, in the first verse, when you're reading it, right, it talks about Boaz. So there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family. His name was Boaz. So this chapter is really about Boaz. Like, we're bringing we're taking the title and the content and the main character of this chapter is now the introduction to Boaz. So now there's this man Boaz. Let's talk about him a little bit in the situation of the main character before Ruth meet him. So it's kind of like a scene cut, and we're starting with Boaz. Now, because we start with Boaz, in verse 2, it says, right where it says, Ruth said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." So automatically, I think we jump to, she's like, "Let me go after him," like thinking him is Boaz. So right off the bat here, we can have a misconception that Ruth is conspiring or planning to go work in this man Boaz's field when that's not the case. So when you read other versions and dig into to the translation of what she's really meaning here, in fact, to give some clarity, I'll read it. I'll switch over to the Amplified version because it can share it better than me. But it, as you read other versions and to give more context, and again, if you have the ability to get into the Hebrew and really break down, him is just someone who she may find favor of. If she goes behind the field to the reaper, you know, let me go behind him and someone I can find that I can go behind and pick up. Because we can also take the context of the rest of the story that, you know, we'll see in verse 3, right? Like, she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to part of the field belong. Like, it just kind of happened. She didn't plan for it, so she started in another field, ended up in Boaz's field. And then later on, as she's telling the story to Naomi, it doesn't come across as Ruth knows. So I think even in Boaz's introduction and communication and talking with Ruth, he I'm sure he knew, but he withheld that information. So I don't think Ruth even knew he was a relative when she first met. So that's why it's always important as we think and we dig into scripture, and even as for a clear understanding of things that can jump out at us, it's always important, I think, to jump around in different translations of scripture. And I know I grew up in a church that was like King James and King James only. If you want, you can use some new King James, but and I was stuck in that for years too, but my enlightenment and understanding has grown tremendously through the tools and usefulness of more and more translations to compare, to weigh back and forth, to give me that better understanding, especially when you're breaking down into themes, right? What's the theme and the purpose of the text? Not necessarily always the purpose of each one line. But anyway, I think that's enough, a little nugget for that. So we see Ruth coming on the scene, or really Boaz coming on the scene, and Ruth, it's just kind of going out to see what she can find in the fields, right? She's a widow. Her mother-in-law is a widow. Now, it was custom, and it was also a law of Deuteronomy that I will reference here. Actually, hold on, my notes are messing up. All right. So in Deuteronomy, God gives a command, right? And he says, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back and get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over to the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger and the fatherless and the widow. So God, in ruling Israel with his law, he established a kind of welfare system, if you will, right? He's saying, as you're going through the field and as things fall, like, you're not to be super greedy and taking every little piece. He's like, if it falls on the ground, I'm going to provide for you. Don't stress on it. Leave that extra for the poor, for the fatherless, for the widows, for the strangers. Leave it. This is my way to provide for them. So don't steal away my provisions that are coming out of your abundance for the people that I need to take care of, right? So God kind of set up, call it like a welfare system, if you will, right? So this is a way that he commanded his people to take care. So let them go in your field. It's also, you know, really attacks the heart when you get into it too, right? We want to build up ourselves and build up our pole barns, if you will, and me. And God's saying, you know, be careful. Like, I'm going to provide enough. I'm going to give you your need. You can be wealthy. You can be prosperous. And because I will bless you and make you that way. But out of your abundance, it's not yours to hoard. allow the overflow to come out and to bless others. All right. So we use that to check ourselves and our greediness and our control. Yeah, also God's command to and his way to provide for the needy. All right, so we have that law, so they're practicing it. So Ruth, along as a lot of other people, are going through these fields through harvest time and picking up food as they go. All right, so we have that going on. She doesn't know she's going. Now Boaz came, and he comes through to check on his field during harvest. And I love how he greets his workers. The Lord be with you. So I'm gonna highlight right now. I just want to go through the next couple of texts and I'm just gonna read the verses where Boaz is speaking, where it says Boaz. And this is really gonna give us a good character of who Boaz is. Now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to a servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So he saw this woman who's different, like whether brand new, maybe it was her beauty, something about her stuck out. And he's like, who's this woman over here working? And the servant answered. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter," right? Once he was told who it was, he's like, oh, I think Naomi was like a sister-in-law or like a, I don't know, somewhere along the line as he was related to her husband. So he knew the story. So he went to Ruth and he said, "Listen, my daughter, will you not, don't," pretty much he says, "don't go to another field. Stay here from now on. Stay close to my young woman," right? So he has young women that are part of his establishment, that stay with them. "And let your eyes be on the field which they reap." So they're going to stay on my field. So if you stay with these women, you're going to be on my field, my property, under my protection. Then he says, "I've commanded the young men not to touch you. And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels that they drink, right? That they pull out of the well that the young men have drawn. So you stay with me, stay in this field. You stay under the provisions and the protection of my property." And then Boaz answered, right after she's like, "Why you found favor in me?" Boaz answered and said, "It has been fully reported to me what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband," right? So Ruth's stories kind of got around. Naomi and Ruth came back. People are talking about it. He's obviously heard about it. And then he now meets her and makes the connections. He's like, "So I've heard about these things and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and have come to a people that you did not know. So the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Right? I'm going to read one more line and talk about it. So, a little time goes, they're still working. And then it comes to mealtime, and Boaz says, "Come here and eat of the bread." This is verse 14. "Dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up, to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grains of bundle fall prosperously." So he's saying, don't just let her pick up what falls. He's like, purposely let some things fall by the side so that she can have extra to pick up. And I wanted to highlight and read those responses and the words from Boaz. Because I wanted his character to show, right? Like Boaz, I mean, just by reading that, you can see he's a man of God. From the very first thing we hear Boaz speak, he's praising the Lord. He's speaking, "The Lord bless you." We also see his words full of grace. He's always bringing up the Lord. And also he's practicing the Lord's law, right? Allowing the woman to reap, or the poor people and whoever needs to come behind and glean behind his workers, he's happy about it. And we also see the graciousness in of his voice of to give, let extra fall. He's not worried about the bottom dollar. He's like, "The Lord blesses, the Lord takes care, let extra fall." And he also cares about women. I gotta say, right? we know back then and even today, women have it hard. They are the weaker vessel in the sense that, yeah, they're not as strong. They're taken advantage of. We live in an evil world full of men, and women don't have it easy in this world. No matter how far we come with rights and equality and all, women have it hard because of the evil hearts of men. And he's over here setting a protection of, I commanded my men not to touch you, not to assault you, to harass you. So what does that say about the time that this is very dangerous and scary place for a woman to be in the field gleaning, as men would come and harass and beat, probably rape, take advantage of. So it's also tough. And even today, if you were to ask a woman, what's scarier? If you're on a field on a hike at Parvin State Park, are you more fearful of running into a man or a bear? Most women will pick, I'd rather run into a bear. Why is that? Because there's a level of danger, and women, they're it's a hard place for them. So men, whether they're our spouse or daughter or a stranger, like, God wants us to protect and to look over and to provide. Like, we're to do what we can to love and to set any kind of protection over any woman that we can, in a healthy way. And not just women, right? Foreigners, anyone who may be marginalized and able to be taken advantage of. So as men, and I like this story in this chapter, because obviously being a man, I look at Boaz and I'm like, what can I learn from Boaz? Like, I just read and he highlights, and I want to be more like that. Even as we see Boaz in his conduct and his words and how he's speaking to people, it reminds me of Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And this is what Colossians says. And tell me if this kind of sounds like Boaz and what we read. It says, conduct yourself with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders. That's non-believers, right? Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Obviously, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, so it's really getting some of that meat, right? I'm going to read that again, right? Conduct yourselves with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, the non-believers. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you. Again, that's Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 through 6. And I mean, based on what we just read with Boaz, I mean, that's, to me, that matches. And I don't know about you, I want that to match me. What a charge and a encouragement to be like, with, I see from Boaz's story and also from this scripture here. And you can even take it as Boaz, how he was praising her for coming to Israel to seek refuge under, you know, the Lord's wings. I mean, our church is like, church is supposed to be like that, right? As we have outsiders come in to our church, like, conduct yourselves with wisdom with your interactions of those people, right? Make every and the most of every opportunity as precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant. Even outside of church, whatever platform we have, whether it's at your work, a business, you're going to have to conduct with non-believers. And as we conduct with non-believers, conduct ourselves with wisdom, knowing, right, that, like, they're there and God has us there for a reason. And maybe it's to provide some sort of shelter for them, to introduce them to the love and compassion of our Father. They may not be perfect. There may be a lot of mess. There's a lot of messy people out there, as we are too, even in the believer world. But, you know, we got to be seasoned with salt. We got to be open to love and to offer people refuge in that sense. Because they may be on the very last straw, or they may never have had a good representation of who our Father is. So Boaz here, not just did he provide for her, he gave Ruth, this foreigner, really doesn't know much about God, that she comes to this area and Boaz kind of just like lays the foundation and sets the stage of like grace, compassion, and love, and encourage her. You chose right. You did the right thing. You came here. This is where our God, our Father is, and his people are, and he's going to bless you. And Boaz is a representative of God, right? We are ambassadors of Christ, and we always need to be represented and seeing how we can move and act like God. Right? Makes sense? All right. I got 624. I had outcome, effects of his influence. Okay, yeah. So we did that kind of deep dive in Boaz. And then as you continue down Ruth 2, as you get verse 17, we kind of see the now effects, right? How did Boaz's interactions with Ruth affect her situation and her life? Obviously, we're not going to get into other chapters, but she pretty much came home, talked to her mother-in-law about it. And she's like, where did you work? And, you know, she told her about Boaz. And that's when Naomi said, wow, you know, he's our kinsman redeemer. Like he's in our family line. and she also told her, she's like, that he also said to come back every day until the harvest is done. So her mother encouraged that. So because of that, like they found encouragement, they got food. And eventually, you know, they get married and all, but our interactions, we never know how it's going to affect someone, right? Which is, this is why, again, I'm just going to close with this key verse here. You just never know whatever we say, whatever we do, however we love on anybody, no matter who they are, even if it's someone whose values don't line up with us, whether they're currently living a homosexual lifestyle, whether they're confused with trans, you know, gender, and they don't know their gender, and you know, whether they're Democrat, whether they're Republican, whatever views they don't have that you have, whether they're the most vile sinner that you could think of, like we're still to conduct ourselves with wisdom in our interactions with non-believers. And we got to make the most of every opportunity and treating it as something precious, because you never know what the Lord may do through that. You may be the very person that he put in someone's life to show the love of the Father, not the judgment of the Father, right? Oftentimes we get in this mode of we want to issue out judgment and condemnation, but that's not our job, right? We're to love. Now we are to judge and be smart, right? If I'm to love on somebody who is a non-believer, that's wonderful. It doesn't mean I'm going to put a non-believer in a position of being my pastor, right? I'm going to say, hey, I have an issue with this person being my pastor or being a teacher in the church. Like, yes, that's one category. But how we interact with somebody doesn't mean I'm not going to love that person. Doesn't mean I'm not going to interact with wisdom and even give provisions and allow my grace to overflow. As you can see, we're clearly commanded to take care of and to help out the fatherless, the widows, the strangers, the foreigners. And even as we think about that in the environment of our political, right? How do we deal with, you know, refugees and these border control and all that stuff? I'm not going to get into it, but I will encourage you that there's differences between, say, how we live individually and how we interact with people versus how even the church, right? Again, if I have a business and I've got positions that need to be filled, hey, I should fill those positions with believers and non-believers alike. Right. But if I'm at a church that has a spiritual purpose, I'm not going to fill the pastoral team with non-believers, right? That just doesn't make sense. And even as if you think about Israel, right, as they were war, right, if they were at war with Palestine, right, like there's a war happening. However, that doesn't mean that you're mean to every Philistine, right, that comes your way. So there can be distress between nations, you know, political stress. But as we interact individually, like we're to be seasoned, we're to be wise, and we're to bring the life of God. Because again, just like you and I, whatever's happening between political parties, like this is not our world, right? Our kingdom is not of this world. And whether they're on this side or that side, they may be seeking to leave the conditions of this world, right? So we're to present them an opportunity to come into our Father's kingdom, if that makes sense. Kind of might be going on too much, but I don't want to get too much into political, but just kind of highlighting of like, just to, I know it's in our face every day, but I think the important thing is how we handle it as individuals, not necessarily how we handle it politically, right? This world is the world, right? America is America. We are Christians first, right? How do we handle it as individuals? And just because someone handles it that way as individual, they could have a different political view. We can have different political views as Christians, but we just have to remember that's just political views and how we're thinking our states and should operate. And that's okay, right? That can deviate. But how we respond as individuals to other individuals and to people, that's the heart of it. How are we treating people throughout our day? How are we loving on people and being wise with our conduct, and fighting for the kingdom, right? Ultimately, we are fighting for the kingdom. We're not fighting for the world, if that makes sense. So I'll leave you with that. 6:30. It's great being here, seeing you guys. For the men, right? Let's think about Boaz and how we can be more like Boaz. For the women, let's think about how we can, right, trust in God's providence, right? That we don't have to control everything. We do our best, and the Lord bless. Again, Ruth did not conspire to go capture Boaz. She was just by chance, like doing her best, trying to, you know, honor whatever value she had, right? She didn't necessarily, I don't think, knew God yet. And she was walking it out, and she was doing great and honorable things, and God took care of her, right? So she lived out her character, did the best she could, and God came, and it, by chance, right, it just so happened, God also sent this man, Boaz, to be a protection over her, and to God orchestrated it. So I see God's sovereignty in this story, not just by misunderstanding those first two verses could make you think Ruth conspired it. But remember, she did not conspire it. I don't even think she knew anything about Boaz, as you read throughout. So God's sovereignty, he wants to take care. Men, we have a charge and we have a big responsibility to protect, to look over women in our society, to speak up, to fight injustice, and to help. So we have a big calling in our lives, and help us to be more like Boaz. So I'm going to pray us out with that. Father God, we just thank you for your word and these challenges. Allow your spirit to speak to our heart as your spirit communicates to us much better than I could ever think to communicate. So take what we digested and dug into, take all these words and these concepts and your scripture, and just help us to now just take all of that and allow your spirit to sort it out. So we're all in different places. We all need a different thing. We're all, you know, have all this stuff going on and all these influences, Lord. But right now, we just want your spirit, as we depart from here, to take charge over all our thoughts and everything that's been said, and take and speak to us, Lord. So speak to us in the individual level of what we need, whether it's encouragement to be more like Ruth, or whether it's encouragement to be more like Boaz, whether it's encouragement to shift our eyes off the world and more onto your kingdom, whatever it would be, Lord, speak to us and comfort us. Give us the charge and challenge we need. Give us the correction we need in the areas that we may not be doing well, right? The areas that we need to be enlightened to, as David would say, seek my heart, Lord, and seek any sin in me, right? Convict me, move me, teach me your ways, Lord. So be with us, because if we don't invite you in to speak to us and allow your spirit to speak to us, and we're just reading for head knowledge sake, we missed it, Lord. So we're reading for heart challenge and sake, that you would reach down and your spirit would stir and minister to our spirit and our soul, and that we would learn and grow your in you, Lord. So make us more like you. We love you, Jesus. Be with everyone today. Keep them safe, and bless them, and look over them, and may your face shine upon them. We love you, Jesus. I ask all this in your name. Amen. All right, guys.